Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. So I've just installed a security plugin on a WordPress website and my security setup is done. Is it? Well, this is just the beginning rather than the end of better security process. The thing is, on a WordPress website, there are so many moving parts like web hosting, plugins, themes, user logins, permission, SSL, and much more. Oliver from WebOx Security explains about security management for WordPress websites. This is episode number 30 of the podcast, How to Manage WordPress Security of Client Websites with Oliver Sild. Before we begin, if you've been enjoying this podcast, please do consider leaving a 5-star review over at iTunes. Just head over to smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. That's smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. If you use Android platform, you can find links to Stitcher, Spotify, by going to smartwebcreators.com/show. That's smartwebcreators.com/show. Now, let's begin the episode. Hi, Oliver. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing good. We both just had a dinner, you and me, at separate places. So
tell me. It sounds like we did it just together.
Yeah. So now our tummies are filled. Now let's talk something very serious here. Now, but before we talk something serious, which is security, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
All right. So my name is Oliver. I'm the CEO and co-founder of WebOx. So at WebOx Security, we do web application security and monitoring, mainly with a focus for web developers and also to digital agencies. So we focus on component security and third-party dependencies, the vulnerabilities that are around them. And we are also actually planning to release a new product very soon, mm-hmm. which I may be able to talk to you about as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in general, we are focusing on web application security. And I came to this mainly from the agency background also. And since I would say the past 5 years, I've been pretty active in cybersecurity as well in different organizations.
So you started as a web agency building sites for clients, right?
So yeah, we were doing a digital agency, which was with a focus of secure web development. So back then there was, we actually started with Joomla because WordPress wasn't very popular back then. But yeah, we were working with Joomla and Joomla had a lot of those same issues that we have with WordPress nowadays.
But Joomla brings smiles on faces now, right?
Yeah. Nobody's like, it's very uncommon that you will find developers working with Joomla anymore. It's getting very rare.
You know, I really feel awesome when someone breaks that vicious cycle of, you know, building clients' websites and do something different and sustain themselves and even grow. Like, you've broken that vicious cycle of, you know, building client sites and building your own security product suite and, you know, focusing on that part. It's really good because a lot of people get stuck in that for almost like 5-10 years and then they're burnt out and they just close out. So I guess you being young helps a lot, I guess.
In our case, it was really from our own need because we were doing around 60 projects per year, like bigger projects, smaller projects, like e-commerce sites, all different kinds of web applications. And there was this issue with, like, also it was an issue because we were using WordPress later on as well. So we had, like, in our portfolio, we had sites that were running on PrestaShop, WordPress, Joomla. And eventually you somehow needed to understand what kind of different components are running on there. If any of your customer sites are vulnerable to anything, which ones need like immediate attention, you know, so forth. So we kind of started to build like a tool in-house to monitor all of that information, and to also like gain overview in terms of what's the status of the sites, if they're blacklisted, if they're, you know, domains are properly updated, if the certificates are updated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, over time, we just added new and more stuff, up to the point where we also started to kind of release a virtual patches, which then can, you know, if there's a vulnerability on some specific plugin, then you can release a virtual patch to all of the sites. So in this case, the exploitation won't go through. So it was kind of in-house at first. And then, yeah, we decided to kind of platform it and provide it to different developers and agencies with the same problem.
Okay, cool. Now let's talk about WordPress security, or security from point of view of WordPress websites. Now, the most important component, well, dealing with WordPress website is the web hosting. Like, you need web hosting and right web hosting, and all web hosting companies have that secure hosting feature slapped on their sales page. Like, my website hosting is secure. And most of, you know, the intermediate level freelancers or even agencies cannot afford to have dedicated or VPS server. So forget about, you know, having their own security set up. Now,
yeah.
For that kind of audience, how does one go about choosing a web hosting which is actually more secure than the next best advertised option as the most secure hosting?
The issue with the secure hosting thing in general is that very, very often, even like shared host providers with zero isolation between the accounts and everything, mm-hmm. they just say that they are a secure host because they provide SSL. So, you know, so sometimes, you know, SSL is good, and, you know, TLS is even better, and, you know, having certificates is, you know, something that, you know, having encrypted or HTTPS is like essential thing right now to have. But at some point, it was like a huge sales argument.
Yeah.
And I think it still is. And I think it's very easy to fall into like a trap of what the secure hosting really is about. So there's also like a managed web hosting providers now who are, in most cases, focused on some specific framework.
Yeah.
So they are doing a pretty good job in terms of, you know, keeping the or at least trying to keep your components up to date and keep the, you know, PHP versions up to date, Apache versions up to date, and, you know, taking care of all that. So I think if you're really kind of looking for something like a managed service, I think this is probably a good way to go. But then again, in many cases, it still doesn't help you when you are, you know, falling behind with your own kind of plugin updates and all that. So it's still, you know, and there's still issue.
Based on your experience, like, do you have any favorite web hosting service provider with a better track record of with respect to security? Like, any favorites?
I'm pretty paranoid, so we host everything ourselves.
Okay.
So we used AWS to basically set everything up by ourselves.
Okay, let me put you on spot now. So for example, a client comes and says to, now it's not for you, like for any agency, yeah, or some freelancer, and a client comes like, I have a budget of $20 to $50 per month to have a, you know, web hosting account. Which is a better option? I'm not saying the best option that
yeah,
freelancer can suggest to that client among the crop of so-called expensive, super expensive, and uber expensive hosting solutions.
Yeah, I would probably suggest SiteGround at the moment, which is kind of you know, going in the right direction for me. And also right after, I would just go with all the managed hosting providers, but it all, you know, it depends on what kind of application or website you're going to host. But yeah, it's very, like, I wouldn't go for GoDaddy. So there's options that you can really start from the other side, like avoiding, and then getting to the point where.
So I'm doing something right here, because I've been using SiteGround for last 3 years now, and already renewed for like 3 years because they give you heavy discount, which is too tempting to miss if you, you know, renew for more than 1 year. So I did it for like 3 years. It doesn't cost that much, to be honest, when you are renewing like for 4 years. And SiteGround has been fairly good, but then, you know, there are people who would be dissatisfied with, like, they will make an account and dump like 20 websites on it and expect all of them to run quickly. Well, SiteGround does keep an eye on resources that you consume. So now that is just for the hosting part. Now, someone who is hosting a very simple WordPress-based website and does have a server-level access, what he can do on the server level, I'm not talking about the WordPress dashboard yet, we'll talk about that later on, but at a server level, what he or she can do for a better security ecosystem for his website on a server for which he has the direct access?
Well, file permissions, obviously one of the main things that you should really look into. All different kind of directory listings should be, you know, disabled. Make sure to keep the PHP version up to date. Make sure to run Nginx or Apache on the latest version. Like most of the things are always like, you know, monitor the software that you're using and keep this updated. And the other thing, of course, is to look what you can do from, you know, the certificates point of view. Nowadays also you can, well, this is now going to application layer, but there are some functionalities that allow you to set security headers also from Apache. Mm-hmm. We actually just wrote an article about that. So you can, for example, force HTTPS on every cases, you know, different options like that. So I think this is something you should really look into. And also, depending on what kind of application there is, you can always look for, you know, things like fail to ban or mod security, you know, this kind of server side applications.
Bottom line, there's so many things, right?
Yeah, it's always, you know, you can't really suggest like a very generic things based on any applications. Mm-hmm. You kind of need to still look into what application is itself and what actually works for this application in general, like what works specifically.
And one thing just crossed my mind, like a lot of people these days are, you know, moving away from shared hostings to cloud-based hosting, like via services like Cloudways, there's Run Cloud and bunch of, are these environment more secure compared to like something like shared hosting on a SiteGround?
Like a cPanel, which you would have in like even some shared host actually have cPanel. So in this case, it would be something that is sitting on top of the server infrastructure itself and would help us to basically configure the server. So mm-hmm. in this case, I think Cloudways and Run Cloud as well, they're pretty good. And in general, I think you still kind of need to understand what you're doing there. In terms of also, you know, all these permissions, versions and everything. So it still comes, I think it's a more technical thing to use. I think if you feel that you are, okay with, you know, getting deeper with secure, like with technical stuff in general, I think you should definitely look for something that would allow you to have more granular controls.
And just for your like example, taking your example, like do you prefer to access AWS via something like Cloudways or you want to do it directly?
We do it directly, yeah.
Okay, because they actually make it easy for people who do not know the technical stuff, but you still
need a bit
of technical stuff, right?
Exactly. That's what, like, it comes from, you know, shared hosting where everything is kind of default right away, and then you go to probably Cloudways or Run Cloud, where you can still, you know, need some technical knowledge, and then you go to AWS where it's like completely do it yourself.
And most people realize about that fact that you do need technical knowledge for Cloudways or Run Cloud when the site goes down. Till the time everything is working fine, oh man, it's like It's quick. Everything. I have access to everything. Okay. Now let's dive into, you know, WordPress website ecosystem. Now, a WordPress website will have a lot of moving parts, themes, plugins, user logins, even, you know, transactions happening on an e-commerce website. Now, where does one start with better security setup within WordPress dashboard?
So within WordPress dashboard, I think the first thing you need to do is just update everything and make sure that you don't have anything hard coded. You know, don't hard code plugin changes. Don't hard code templates. Most of the templates nowadays have the option to write custom CSS.
Child themes.
So use these kind of things. Don't do like, you know, don't open up editor and start writing your random things there, which would later on just break the website if you update anything. I think this is the main reason why so many people are, and also developers are kind of, you know, avoiding updating everything and automatically. I mean, like WordPress wouldn't have so many security problems if, you know, people would just make sure that everything works, test everything properly, and just go with automated updates. I mean, so much issues would have been solved. The other thing is that keep the plugin, the number of plugins as low as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find solutions that have like most of the stuff in there. Look for a vendor who is, you know, who have a good track record of development. Mm-hmm. Also from track record of when a security like issue has been disclosed, how fast they actually, you know, fix it up, and like all this information is something you should consider. And additionally, I would say, you know, there are security plugins that allow you to set some level of security on top. Like, I wouldn't start, you know, promoting our own, but then in general, I would say that, you know, functionality that you currently don't have in WordPress, such as proper two-factor authentication, mm-hmm. you know, blocking actual vulnerability exploitations when components are vulnerable and they don't have, for example, update available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these things are something you still should consider when you launch WordPress site.
Yeah, because I was coming to that point. Like, I will install Yoast SEO and my SEO is done. I'll install a security plugin, my security is done. Now, this is a very common discourse among WordPress starters, even intermediate users. Like, it's not about making fun of it, but most people do it because lack of knowledge is very consistent factor in this. Like, I'll install a plugin and it's done. So installing a security plugin, is it enough?
No, you should never. Like, this is probably the biggest issue in the WordPress community when it comes to security, mm-hmm. is that people think that there is a single like silver bullet that you can install and then poof, your security issues are managed forever. Nothing is ever going to happen to you anymore because I have security installed on my WordPress installation. So this is actually causing more problems than it, you know, holds away. Mainly because you as a developer or you as a website owner think that because you have this security plugin installed, this means that now you don't have to think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which on the other hand, basically, you know, pulls down your cyber hygiene in general. You know, you don't think about, you know, keeping software updated all the time. You don't actually dig into the issues of, you know, what kind of updates the plugins have had, which you have installed, you know, or having, you know, you don't look ever at the change log and see if, okay, there was a security fix, for example. In general, I think this is not a very good suggestion or anything to think about when it's just, you know, plug and play security. I think you should still be, you know, it's good to kind of have a routine for at least once a week when you work with your websites to kind of look at the plugins that are installed, Google mm-hmm. about them, look at the vendors, update everything every week. You know, all these things are kind of what you should do still, even if you have like a kind of first line defense in place when something goes down and you didn't notice it right away.
And based on your historical data and your experience of being in the security ecosystem for quite some time, is it like WordPress plugins or WordPress themes? Who is the main source of malicious code spread?
What I have noticed a lot is that WordPress plugins in general are the main things that are being exploited, but the WordPress themes are the most popular ones that are being installed by the developers by themselves, which are nulled. So they have like they are like pirates pirated software kind of. So they have malware already injected in them, and developers download them for free because they want to save money, but they don't realize that this already includes malware.
And there's another aspect, like I've noticed, like it's not a sweeping statement of everyone who's selling free or who's providing free WordPress themes, but there has been a lot of observations regarding like a person is providing a free WordPress theme, but there's a hidden injected code somewhere which is actually spoiling a website, and that person is making money from that actual malicious spread of code. And that is where most people say, oh, WordPress is free, so WordPress theme should also be free, right?
Well, it's, someone wrote the code. So
He's got to pay, right? Okay, now there seems to be a lot of security things happening with regard to popular plugins. Like recently it happened with social warfare plugin, right? Now, is it like people are sharing this hack type of information more proactively these days, or things have really become bad in terms of more malicious code attempts? Like what is causing this more spread of information? Like people are becoming more proactively and sharing, hey, my plugin got hacked, please be careful. Or it's just like they've been getting stamped so quickly now.
Well, the main thing actually eventually is that it didn't get so much attention at first. Right nowadays, it gets a lot of attention because not just like some small websites are built on WordPress, and the plugins that are used are, it's probably one of the biggest attack surface on web applications nowadays, because the plugins can be installed on hundreds of thousands of websites, which is like a perfect source for hackers to create botnets. And it's relatively easy as well.
And you don't even
So,
need login for that.
yes, so you don't need anything for that. So, like last week, we had this Yuzo related post, when we also had the Yellow Pencil vulnerability. It's all the same thing. So, I think with Yuzo, it was, and actually both of them were, I think, disabled on the WordPress library eventually. So, in these cases, you don't even have a update, which you can just go and do the update. You don't see that the plugin is, outdated or anything. And WordPress core itself also doesn't have any notification for the user that this plugin is vulnerable and you should kind of, delete it or something like that. I think this kind of feature should be something that WordPress should have in the upcoming days.
Instead of taking that plugin off the WordPress repository, why just don't roll back to the previous good version and let user update or downgrade to that version for time being? Because eventually most of these plugin authors do release fix in, but that takes time, right?
Yeah, it takes time. And that's why, that's why like the security services are still very much needed.
And by the time they release the fix, their reputation is already tanked, right?
Yeah, well, that's for sure. It's gone. But I think it's but it's still kind of a good thing, because I think developers have to be much more careful nowadays. Because they see that, if they write the shitty code, they kind of have only one chance. So there's not so many, but then again, there's been also, WordPress core who have had vulnerabilities, and, eventually people shouldn't really, show fingers, but instead kind of collectively understand where's the issues and try to kind of get better all together as a community.
Yeah, but then talking bad is easy, man. Like, what happened to you? It's like they did one feature goof up, which did result in search engine ranking drop for few websites and their reputation got tanked, and who got benefited from their competitors, right? So there's always someone who will benefit from it. So, and that person will also be from WordPress ecosystem. So, okay. So this is about the general WordPress site. So what about a WordPress site with WooCommerce or any other e-commerce setup, be it EDD or WooCommerce? Like, do you need any extra security tightening for those kind of websites?
I think it mainly falls still down into the same things. Of course, make sure to not store any of the payment details on the site itself.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you should use some third-party processor, like, you know.
Stripe.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure to do that. Other than that, it's basically the same things. Make sure to, you know, allow two-factor authentication options also for the users. Make sure that your, you know, hosting is, you know, proper. Make sure that your application is up to date. Make sure you don't use a lot of different plugins. Make sure that everything is updated. So it really comes to the same things.
Okay, now let's talk more technical about security. Now, brute force attacks, DDoS attacks. Now, these are very common words that can scare most freelancers and agency owners. Why? Because they don't understand these things. They understand what this word means for their websites and security, but they don't have that expertise to understand this. So how would you explain these two terms to people who know these words but don't know the meaning of these words?
I think I wouldn't, like, brute force attacks is something that is very, very actively triggered against or like used against WordPress sites.
Mm-hmm.
What it basically is, it uses WordPress XML RPC and just regular WP admin login to basically try to guess your password. Many developers and many users always remain with the default admin username, which is something you should definitely not do. The other thing is that the passwords that you use coming to a very good, like, very big importance right here. So for these people who are currently using some, let's say, some password that they just keep in mind, just try to remember, you know, I would just say that download a password management software like KeePass or Dashlane or LastPass. You know, let the computer create a strong password that is actually, you know, something that other computer cannot guess in an easy way, which nowadays is very, very easily done with computing power. So use password management. Disable XML RPC if possible, and don't use default admin username. There is also options to kind of hide the WAdmin location.
Change the URL.
So basically you can change the URL. I think we also have this option on our plugin, but this is only working when the XML RPC is already turned off.
Yeah, talking about passwords, it doesn't matter. I'll still have my cat or dog's name as password. Who cares, right?
Yeah, so it's, passwords are still very, very common, you know, attack vectors. So brute forcing is something you should always have in your mind when you're working with users. And also the thing that some of the plugins that have vulnerabilities have, for example, vulnerabilities that are allowing to kind of escalate the privilege. So in this case, make sure to, if you really don't need new use, like if you just have a website and you're the only admin and you don't need like an open registration on the website, make sure to turn off the registration as well. Because this can, you know, just, you don't need, if you don't need it, just turn it off. This will be brute force as well.
Yeah, and the other important thing is website logs. Now, most people do not know how to read logs to identify security threats. Now, this is a very common thing. Most people don't even bother to go to the log section of your website. Now, would you recommend them hiring a professional or use some service that makes logs reading more easy for them?
So what we do is that we don't really, for example, for WordPress users, we have a thing called activity logs. Mm-hmm. So this basically is giving you a full information about who logged in, who changed any post, uploaded any attachment from which IP and what time exactly. And you will have like the full log of what has been done on the website while the user was authenticated. This also includes commenting, you know, all this kind of information. We have had these incidents where a user came to us and said, hey, I'm using WebArts, but my website was hacked. And we were just going, digging into the activity logs. And we just realized that one of his interns were just accidentally deleting like 500 attachments, which resulted like a lot of, basically the site was just broken, you know. The images didn't load and, you know, everything was kind of misplaced. So these kind of logs are definitely easier to read than you will see from like Apache access logs, for example. So in this case, it is good if you're not technical to look at, you know, to have like this kind of activity logs kind of translated to you. But the other thing is that you should at least sometime look at the activity log, like the actual Apache access logs, for example. Just grab like, it's more technical. And, you know, some people would definitely not feel very comfortable with it, but it's sometimes good to use like some grep, like a Linux command to kind of search through the latest logs and always keep the logs for as long as possible. But this is also something that you should consider depending on the hosting provider. Because, you know, if you have a lot of traffic, you'd produce a lot of logs. And if the host can't handle it, your site is going to get slow.
Yeah, because that was my next question. Like, once the server is set up, the website is set up, how important is the monitoring part? Because most of the time, it's none. Like, most of people don't care about it. Like, they log in, they add the new content, they will hit the random update button here and there. But that's about it. Like, security monitoring is very important because, again, your plugin makes it easy to at least see the basic information, like who logged in, who changed and won. Because reading logs and expecting a normal person or an average person with, you know, little bit of know-how would be like expecting too much, because logs are very technical, to be honest, to read them. Even I don't find comfortable reading them too.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, monitoring in general also is very important. So, you know, uptime monitoring, at least, you know, at least some granularity of uptime monitoring is already good enough. You also need to look into blacklists, you know, all different information that is out there about your website when it comes to security. It's sometimes also good to, you know, do like defacement monitoring to see if you have like some, you know, content misplaced on the website itself, to monitor if your domain is expiring, you know, if your SSL certificates are expiring. All these things can basically show or like get your website look, you know, out of place if this happens. Or, well, with domain expiration, it can even be very worse. Like we just had last week, a situation here in Estonia where a local government website, they stopped using the domain. And a week later, the domain was just bought by another company somewhere else, and they were running some nasty stuff there, like selling some different kind of funny services. So, and you can't do anything about it, you know. Someone else bought the domain, they can do whatever they want. So in this case, you know, monitoring all these kind of things is becoming very, very important.
Yeah, by this approved by government, right?
yeah, pretty much. So it's because people are used to using the domain and know that they will get to your website.
Yeah.
But at one point when you just forgot to, you know, extend it and it will get outdated, or like someone else buys it, you know. And there's actually, you know, even if you think that, okay, whatever, you know, why would anyone just, you know, buy it because, you know, my company isn't so, you know, famous or whatever, you know, there's actual, you know, bots who just buy the domains,
yeah,
you know, actively, and they just see the ranking. If the site has X amount of traffic, they'll just buy it because it's cheap.
Yeah, there's business in everything and everywhere here in the online world, because I have a lot of very old domains, like the domains that I bought when I started, and they are really good domains, like two word domains, and they are all on .com, and I do get bombarded with offers, and I do get offers to sell my whole blogging website because I started as a blogger. I still get offers to, you know, but I can sense that most of these offers are triggered by bots, like, hey, do you want to sell? I have no interest in selling my site because I did it for fun, and I don't intend to make money from those. Those are like my nostalgic vintage collection stuff, like my legacy on the internet. Anyways, now let's talk about WebArx. How is your product helping or would help a WordPress user to have a better security of their WordPress website? Like you've told about the login information, the user activity information. What else besides that?
So we help hardening the website itself. By that I mean, you know, starting from, you know, disabling directory listing, enabling you to set two-factor authentication on any accounts, so the users who sign up, then you can later set up two-factor authentication on with, let's say, Google Authenticator or Authy or different apps. You know, you can also set other hardening features such as, you know, reCAPTCHA on all your. And you can even choose which reCAPTCHA you want to use. Who doesn't know, reCAPTCHA is basically something that will have like a Turing test if the visitor is a human or not. So there's two options: invisible reCAPTCHA, which doesn't need any interaction from the visitor, and there's a reCAPTCHA version 2, which is basically you have to click like you know. I'm not the robot button or something like that. So these are like hardening features, like, you know, also change the login WordPress admin panel location and all that. And then additionally, there's external monitoring, basically. By external monitoring, we check if any of the plugins that are used on your website are known to have a vulnerability. So you can basically set the email and Slack notifications and everything when you have a vulnerability, when the site goes down, basically when you have any PHP errors on your website, when you have domain expiring, SSL expiring. There's a lot of different things that we monitor, even like HTTP security headers. And additional to that, we have a web application security web application firewall. Which is running on the endpoint, so inside of the website, and it's being managed directly by us. So basically, virtual patches and everything will be sent automatically to it, the website, if a vulnerable plugin is detected. So,
and your product is mostly targeted for agency owners or also for individual website owners?
So we have individual website owners as well, but mainly it's targeted for developers and agencies. Who use the platform more often and kind of monitor all their customer portfolio inside. So in this case, they have like the complete overview of the security of all the websites that they have developed, and they over time add new websites in there so they can see and, you know, understand where they should put their attention to. So, and additionally on the firewall, you can write your own firewall rules. So, for example, you can easily create your own firewall rule for some specific user agent, for example. So, let's say, I don't know, for some reason, you don't want like Internet Explorer 7 users to be accessed on your website. So, you can basically choose whatever you want to do with the user who has this user agent. So you can just, you know, say you can like block the access or just say redirect them to some other site where you say that, hey, you're using like an outdated browser, try this instead. And, you know, And you can also like block all the curl accesses to the website and like Python scripts. And, you know, you can really go very in depth as a developer if you use the product. So yeah, we are going really, we're trying to have like as advanced kind of granularity on the web application firewall when it comes to the CMS sites in general. So it runs actually not only on WordPress, but also every PHP application.
Now, one big criticism that I've heard about your competitor products, which I'm not going to name, that it slows down your WordPress website or it requires more resources when you have that XYZ plugin installed for security purpose on your WordPress website. How is your plugin handling in terms of resource requirement and not so, you know, intensive on, you know, resources for the server?
It definitely, since it runs inside of the website, depending on the hosting environment, it definitely, and also depending on the traffic, it definitely can affect the speed of the website. But as far as we have tested it on so like very heavy traffic websites, it's below like 0.10 like milliseconds, I think. So because it runs directly before the PHP is being executed, it doesn't really, you know, run through the, like, the way it works is actually in a way that the PHP behind, like, let's say WordPress application isn't being even executed before it hits WebArgs on the on your server, let's say. So yeah, it doesn't, we haven't had any issues on our customer sites when it comes to speed or when it comes to performance. But we are aware that, you know, whenever you use more, it does need more resources inside of the server. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's regular that, you know, some sort of performance gap can be found. But yeah, it's really depending on the site and everything.
Okay, now let's talk about your toolbox. So which are your five current favorite tools that power your online business?
One of the very favorite ones is actually Intercom. This is not related to security or anything. Yeah. But Intercom in general is very, very well made product. I'm always saying I really like them.
The cute pop-up?
Yeah, well, what is good about this is actually the way how you can handle the whole customer communication. Mm-hmm. You can basically understand what kind of questions are being asked most frequently. You will basically have a better understanding on where to evolve in terms of the product development and everything like that. It's working really well. It is a bit expensive, though. Especially when you ramp up with users. Mm-hmm. But it's very good. Next to that, I would say Atlassian products, Jira, Slack, you know, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. I think these are like very, very much something that, you know, any digital agency would probably need to use as well, like Jit and, you know, Bitbucket and all the solutions like that, like Jira. And from the security perspective, I think it's always, you know, about the task you need to get done. From scanning the websites to kind of understanding for the different vulnerabilities in the code and everything, you can find a lot of good things from OWASP. Set of tools. Mm-hmm. So OWASP really has a huge community. They have a lot of different tools available for, you know, scanning the sites for vulnerabilities or you know, looking at improvements that can be made in the code and so forth.
Okay, cool. So do you use any page builder?
Not really, no. We also have a WordPress site. But we have custom built, like the way how we manage template and how the everything is built up, it's all custom built.
Okay. And any upcoming service or tool that has caught your attention, eye.
Right now, I don't think so. I'm very interested in Stadia, how it's going to evolve. If mm-hmm. you know, like Google is releasing this cloud gaming platform.
Yep.
It's not some, like, I'm not a really big gamer or anything, but I'm really interested in how they're technically going to solve this.
How they're going to stomp on PlayStation and all those big guys.
I'm very interested how they're going to, tackle the issue with late input lag and, you know.
And resources, because they big games do require a lot of resources and bandwidth. It won't be that easy. So. Yeah. It was amazing talking to you. So before we wrap this episode, where can people find you?
People can find us at webarchsecurity.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can write directly to the chat box and say, hey, I want to talk to Oliver, for example.
Powered by Intercom.
Powered by Intercom. So this is, you know, working really well. You can find me on Twitter.
Awesome. I hope you also enjoyed it, and I'm sure people who listened or who will listen to this episode will find more insights into security. It's not just about installing security plugin. There's much more than that. So
absolutely.
Thank you for all. Go ahead.
Yeah. So always, keep in mind that security is a process, not the product, and can never be a product.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that I would always ask people to keep in mind that security is always a process.
Cool. Oliver, thank you so much for the information that you've shared. Have a good day.
And you too.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.